This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, Inspector's daily and sometimes more than daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman. And we've just had an announcement from the Prime Minister where he confirmed reports that have been pretty widely covered now that he plans to delay the lockdown by up to 4 weeks, a review at 2 weeks. However, he suggests it was unlikely that restrictions would be lifted after 2 weeks and instead suggested that the 4 week delay was hopefully a firm one. James, is this a cast iron commitment? The Prime Minister sounded very optimistic, but he fell slightly short there.
Yeah, I think you could tell a deliberate attempt to change his language. In the roadmap, all the dates are not earlier than. He was suggesting that July the 19th, a new date, is a kind of terminus date, e.g. the date on which he would expect all of this to go. And I think that perhaps more reassuring was Patrick Vallance, the government's chief scientific advisor, saying that it wasn't obvious that you got much gain from delaying reopening beyond 4 weeks. And I think the context for this needs to be seen in the PHE England data, which suggests that both the Pfizer and AstraZeneca jab are 90% effective against hospitalisation after two doses. That is slightly better numbers than I think people had been expecting and does give you a bit more confidence that this July the 19th date might be met. Now, obviously, the government has an issue here because, you know, everyone remembers from 12 weeks to send COVID packing, you know, on you go. But I think that if you add together the fact that you would clearly want to have any exit wave in the summer months, this data on the vaccine protection, the confidence they have of who they can get second doses to before July the 19th, I think that, you know, the government will pay a very heavy political price if it couldn't reopen after this four-week delay. I think the public will be relatively understanding of this delay. I think if there was another one, I think people would begin to lose confidence.
We have heard similar things said before. Isabel, do you think the government's in any political trouble here? All the polling suggests that actually lots of people back this delay.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you define as political trouble, really, in that, as you say, the polling is quite positive for the government. But if you look at the reactions of Conservative MPs and then perhaps more dramatically even than that, the Speaker, which is something that James has blogged about on Coffee House today, then there is a real political problem here. As you've reported, Katie, Conservative MPs are getting really agitated about this moving of the goalposts and what they see as being a real change from the reassurances that everyone was given last year when a vaccine was developed, that, you know, we just need to start getting people vaccinated. And then when there's a new variant, it will meet a wall of vaccinated people. Now, Boris Johnson tried to address that in the press conference today by saying that if we delayed by just a few more weeks, it would allow more people to be vaccinated and would reduce the number of avoidable deaths, I think he put it, much more, and to make it much more acceptable to unlock it just a little bit later. But Conservative MPs are really anxious, not just about another wave in the autumn, you know, more variants developing perhaps in the next few weeks or again in the autumn, but also about the response that scientists might then urge in the autumn to a particularly virulent outbreak of seasonal flu, because people's immune systems have had a very strange nearly 2 years now where they haven't really been exposed to common colds, to flu and so on, that there's not really that much clarity on how our immune systems are going to respond in the autumn when we're all back on the tube together, or, you know, going to events and so on and mingling in a way that we haven't over the past few years. Given the NHS now has waiting lists of over 5 million people waiting for delayed treatment, you can't say that the NHS has come through this unscathed. And you can't say that the pressure on the NHS, obviously very different to the pressure in April 2020, but you can't say that that pressure has really lifted. And so this is the worry of many Conservative MPs, that actually there's going to be another new argument in the autumn for keeping those restrictions going still further, or for reimposing restrictions, which is, you know, something that we, I think you said this on the podcast earlier, James, it's something that we couldn't have imagined even, you know, a few months ago. But then we couldn't have imagined the kind of lockdown that we've all lived through at the start of this pandemic. We couldn't have imagined that, that Britain would impose such a lockdown. We couldn't have imagined that Britons would respond so positively to the lockdown that we've seen over the past few years either. And then we get on to the problem with the Speaker, which is that he said that today that Parliament had been misled by the way in which these restrictions had been announced, that he was told that no decision had been made, then there was an embargo document that was circulating. And as James explained on Coffee House, that this does lead us into the sort of territory of a constitutional crisis, because normally when somebody in Parliament says, so-and-so has misled the House, the Speaker reprimands them and says, I'm sure that was not intentional.
And James, on Coffee House, when it came to the Speaker's intervention, you suggest it could have led to a constitutional crisis. Can you explain why?
Well, because if someone has misled, if a minister has misled the House of Commons, that is a resigning offence. And you have the Speaker of the House of Commons from the chair accusing the government and Downing Street of having misled the House. And that is a very serious accusation for the Speaker to level. Now, there is a question about what he can do to follow up on that, given that the government has a kind of comfortable majority in the House of Commons. But I think it is a kind of crisis when the Speaker is saying that Downing Street and by inference the Prime Minister has misled the House.
Now, Isabel, there was some good news in the sense that although it is delay, there is easing in a few aspects. So weddings, there is some light easing in terms of the legal cap going. And then also there's some talk about events programmes, so potentially more capacity at sport venues. I think when Boris Johnson was asked about Andrew and Lloyd Webber and his threat to open the theatre regardless, Boris Johnson suggests that perhaps this could even be part of one of the events research programmes experiments. So do you think there is an effort here from the Prime Minister to soften the delay to a degree?
I think so, although it's worth pointing out that the sort of conflicting information still about the impact on weddings, which I know UKT are taking a keen interest in, that social distancing still needs to stay in place. So what impact will this have on specific weddings and on the plans that couples have in place for the next few weeks? It is still not entirely clear, but there does seem to be an attempt to try to listen to the concerns of the hospitality sector, who have been very, very upset about the way in which they've been treated, particularly over weddings, but also over hospitality more generally. And you also notice in the press conference today that Boris Johnson had a question from a bride who I think had her wedding delayed twice by COVID, and he ended up apologising to her and sort of trying to wish her all the very best with her wedding. So there is a recognition that there are certain parts of society that are, let's say, less understanding of these lockdown measures than the majority.
And James, finally, do you think Boris Johnson has a bit of a credibility problem when it comes to, I suppose, his promises on when lockdown might end? Because as we've touched on, in terms of the general wide public reaction, polling consistently does suggest that voters do broadly support the government. But as Isabel's talked about, there is a backbench problem. There's also obviously going to be kickback for businesses. And there's a question about certainty for businesses. And we have a situation where this is the same Prime Minister who said, you know, we'll be back to normal by Christmas. I think last week at various points was saying, you know, there's still nothing in the data that suggests June 21st can't go ahead. So the fact that Boris Johnson's standing up saying, yes, he thinks this will be, you know, the final run of, no earlier then, because of the data, might be met with some scepticism by some in his own party, surely.
Yeah, I think that COVID restrictions run out legally on June the 30th, so he'll have to bring a vote to the House of Commons, and I expect there'll be a number of Tory rebels. I think the real problem for him with the public, though, will come if this July the 19th date is not met. I think that is when he will run into a serious problem. I mean, the delay, however annoying it is, it's a month. But I think if there is another delay again, then I think you will see more and more people start to think, well, are we going to get a sustained reopening this year? What happens in the autumn and the like? I think the thing that is in his favour is this Public Health England data on the efficacy of the vaccines, which does, and what looks like an increased vaccine supply, which is allowing them to speed up the vaccination program. I think that is crucial in terms of public confidence. I think if July the 19th slips after this, then I think that a lot of people will say, what on earth is going on?
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening.